greetings, friends and listeners, in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we declare, yes, souls are crying, men are dying, we must work together to win the lost. And I'm excited to tell you that today's message is exactly the tools you need to be an effectual witness of the gospel to unbelievers, sinners, and backsliders. The Holy Spirit downloaded this message into my spirit fast and furiously over a 2-day period, and I believe it reveals great truths on how we can reach the unsaved. It is entitled, 8 Reasons Some Aren't Saved. I know you're going to want this CD, so I'll be back at the end to tell you how to order 8 Reasons Some Aren't Saved.
We've talked about they don't have the fear of God or they don't have the fear of hell, but they have, flip over to the other side, some people are blinded because they have come under the fear of man. They are bound by a man's fearing spirit. Amen? And you see, I feel that I believe is what happened to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor that condemned Jesus to be crucified. He condemned them to death. I really don't believe that deep down he wanted to do it. So when they brought Jesus before Pontius Pilate, remember it was the Passover, which is the biggest feast and of the springtime. It was the time when they offered the lambs for their sacrifice, to be sacrificed, to be covered for their sins. Now, remember, the Jews were slaves to the Romans. Roman conquered such huge parts of the known world, and then they sent their Roman officials in to run it, to be the governors, the mayors, and all. And the Jewish people were under them. The Jews paid taxes to the Romans. Okay? So now they had developed this sort of, because it was a holiday. And how many know holidays people get charitable? People give around Christmas time. Well, and it was like that. At Passover, they had developed a custom where that Pontius Pilate would allow one Jewish prisoner to be set free out of prison to show them, it's a holiday, we're going to celebrate, and we're going to let somebody go loose. Now, come on now. If you're in a law-abiding thing and you want to keep it law-abiding, you're going to say, well, let the guy go who stole a loaf of bread because he had no food to eat. You're not going to say, let the guy go who just killed 3 people and raped 2 more. Amen? So this was the custom. Now, first of all, they brought Jesus before him, and he was trying to get an answer out of Jesus. They're bringing you here, and they want to condemn you to death because, you see, the Jews had already condemned Jesus according to their opinion, but they didn't have authority to put people to death. Only Romans did. So that forced them to bring Jesus before Pontius Pilate and saying, this man is worthy of death. We can't kill him. We need you to kill him. Well, he wasn't going to just go killing this man until he found out what's he worthy of death. So he's trying to find out, and he's scratching his head. He's saying, I don't get it. What has this man done that's so wrong? Well, they said he's a king. And so he says, are you a king? He's looking at him thinking, God, you don't look like a king to me. Are you a king? And at first, for a while, he didn't get many answers out of Jesus. But, finally Jesus said, well, my kingdom is not of this world. Oh, so you are a king then. And Jesus said, well, if my kingdom was of this world, I would just call all of my people to come and take you all down. But don't worry, don't sweat it. Keep your job. My kingdom is not of this world. Amen? And so he began to develop and this conversation back and forth. And Pontius Pilate is trying very desperately to find a reason what is wrong with this. Now, to top it off, his wife the night before had a very powerful, dramatic dream that scared her. She said, it caused me much suffering in this dream. And I'm telling you, do not have anything to do with that just man. Do not condemn that just man. She sent word to him. He got this note from his wife. Whatever you do, do not condemn that just man. The dream that I had, I'll tell you when you get home. I suffered greatly because of it. So he had that on his mind. He looks at Jesus, this soft-spoken man, who is not speaking evil again about anybody or anything. And he said to the Jews, I tell you what, it's your problem. You're the ones that find a problem with him. I don't find any problem with him. How about if we let him be the prisoner we let go for Passover? How about that? He's trying to reason and bargain with them. We'll let him go. Yes, we'll say, okay, you're condemned, but we'll turn right around and let him go. No way. Let Barabbas go. Barabbas was a seditionist and a murderer. If anybody was threatening Roman rule, it was him, trying to get the Jews to mutiny against them. And in so doing, people got killed. Give us Barabbas. Let him go. How many see the picture? So then he tried to appeal to their humanity. He sent Jesus to be beaten. And if you saw the Passion of the Christ, you know what we're talking about. When they brought Jesus back, it would make most people just shudder to look at this beaten man who was matted blood from his face to his beard all down his body, his back laid open till you could look in and see muscle and bone. This man that was beaten so badly, he thought they'll take one look at him and think, oh my God, he suffered enough, let him go. But he was mistaken. They didn't. It didn't faze them one bit. They said, crucify him. He said, I don't see any reason. What is it that for me to crucify him? He said, I'll tell you what. He went and got a water. He washed his hands so everybody could see it. He says, I'll wash my hands of this. I wash my hands. I am innocent of this just man's blood. He said out of his own mouth, he's a just man. So what happened? What happened to make him turn around and condemn him to die? He had the power, not the Jews. The Jews started saying, well, he said he was the king. And if he said he's the king, then that means he's an enemy of Caesar. And if you let him go, you're no friend of Caesar. And all of a sudden, Pilate imagined it getting back. I let someone go. They're going to lie. He knew it wasn't true. He knew it was a lie, but he knew that they would lie and say, oh, he let a seditionist go who was challenging Caesar's rule. And he thought, I'll lose my job. I'll lose my palace. I'll lose my money. I'll lose my position. I'll lose everything. And when they said that, that brought fear in his heart. And all of a sudden, he changed his mind. And he brought Jesus out and he condemned him to die. Amen? Because he had fear of man. He was afraid that he was going to lose his job and everything. And let me tell you what Jesus said in Mark 8:38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, ashamed of Jesus in front of all the filth and the garbage that we live around, he said, I will be ashamed of you before my Father and the holy angels when I come into my glory. A lot of people, they don't want to get saved because they're ashamed of what people are going to say and think about them. Jesus never deceived anybody. He never made the way look easy so that later on you'd say, you tricked me. He said, sit down and count the cost. Are you willing? Are you able to pay the price? Because you may have to leave mother and father and houses and lands. And some of your enemies, the worst, will be those of your very household. He said, I'm not telling them I'm coming to make everybody love one another. The gospel alienates. The gospel separates those who want to cling to light and those who want to cling to darkness. And never the twain shall meet. See, some people are ashamed. But what is it going to be like when you stand before the judgment seat of God, before all the world, and the books are open, and they read every dirty, filthy sin you've ever done because they're not covered by the blood. You remember that sin you did when you were 13? You remember that thing that you did that was so wrong? Remember some of those things you did it behind closed doors? That you never ever want anyone to know. You know those skeletons in your closet that you hope never get out. They're all coming out. They're all coming out at the judgment seat of Christ because they will not be under the blood. And everybody will know it then. Jesus said what was done in secret will be shouted from the housetops. They're going to know about that incest and that molestation. They're going to know all that. You're ashamed of Jesus? In front of this wicked and ungodly, filthy, lying, cheating generation. He said, I'll be ashamed of you and I will say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. All right, that brings us to number 7. A lot of people are blinded and said, I can't get saved and go to church because of all the hypocrites. Ever heard that one? There are so many hypocrites in church, and they know them all. You're right. You're absolutely right. There are hypocrites in church. I bet you there's some here today. I bet you there's some here today. I can't go because of hypocrites. They've been turned off. They've been turned off by preachers that have gone bad. And you hear there for a while, a few months ago, we were hearing every week a new one. Made you feel like hiding in a rock somewhere. Amen. This one's fooling around, and this one's got a boyfriend, and this one's got a guy friend, and this one's got a girlfriend. Yes, there are hypocrites, and there always will be. They were hypocrites in Jesus' day. There were hypocrites going to synagogue, and there are hypocrites going to church. And Peter did say in 2 Peter 2:2, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. They put a stumbling block in front of others. They don't go in and they stop others from going in, Jesus said. You want to hear how Jesus felt about hypocrites? I don't have time to tell you. You can read it. You read Matthew 23 and your hair will stand up. He never ever said anything mean or hateful to a sinner. But boy, he let it rip when he was talking to the hypocrites. He called them everything but nice people. Paul said there would be wolves in sheep's clothing. He said, watch out. They're going to come in church. Not out in the world. You expect the devil to be in the world. He said, wolves in sheep's clothing will come in the church. I'm telling you now, get ready. There will always be hypocrites.
Amen, amen. Surely the Holy Spirit has birthed this word into our hearts so we can be able and effectual witnesses and ministers of the New Testament. I believe you can discern the spirit of conviction that was upon the delivery as these truths penetrated the hearts of the hearers, shedding light in dark places and peeling away layers of resistance. It also serves to enlighten us how to deal with hard cases when witnessing of Christ. Paul said that Satan is a mind blinder, and he uses these 8 strategies to keep people from getting saved. Number 1, I'm a good person. Number 2, they're not ready to give up sin. Number 3, no fear of God. Number 4, no fear of hell. Number 5, I've got plenty of time. Number 6, the fear of man. Number 7, too many hypocrites. And number 8, I just can't live this Christian life. Every point is scripturally supported. There's enough anointed ammunition in this teaching to prepare you to be a powerful soul winner. You can order 8 Reasons Some Aren't Saved on CD for a love gift of $10. Ask for order SK151. That's SK as in Sharon Knotts, 151. Send your gift of $10 or more to help us pay for radio time to R.G. Hardy Ministries, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. You may also order online at rghardy.org. There you will find many other spiritual resources by my dad, Brother Hardy, and myself. The mailing address, again, is P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Until next time, Maranatha.